It's special watching her grow up underneath the Word of God, isn't it? Amelia, I want to commend you for bringing your baby to church every service. That's so important that she hears the Word of God. Glad Grandma and you are here every service, and Grandpa and that baby. That baby's hearing the Word of God. That little baby, you wonder, how can those young kids get saved? By the time she's 4 or 5 years old, they hear the Word of God so much in Super Church and nursery and the big fat mouth here. That's how young kids get saved early, because they hear the Word of God. She sure, yep. You can't be a preacher like me, though. My daughter wanted to be one, too, Tammy. This little book came on my heart today. I've been here 23 years almost, so I've had to share this book with you a couple times, probably over 23 years. But this is what God put in my heart today, so. Why don't you turn to the little book of Philemon? Used to call that book Philemon, Eddie. I used to call it Philemon. Went to Bible college, and Dr. Brooks said, turn to the book of Philemon. And I said, I always thought it was Philemon. And he said, do you want to get a good grade for the class? I said, sir, I love Philemon. And so it's the book of Philemon. Don't worry about Philemon. You won't get past the educator. It's the book of Philemon. It's a little book, one chapter. Apostle Paul is the author. Of course, we know the Holy Spirit writes the whole Bible, but use men as to pen the words. And Paul is writing this letter to Philemon, a Christian man, and it's a tremendous. It's one of the most precious books. I remember one time years ago, as a young kid, I preached this at a Baptist conference. Tonight I'm just going to be teaching it. But I preached it as a regular message, and my lands, preachers came right out of their chair. And I got more bookings out of that message, just preaching this little book of Philemon. And I was a young kid, had real nice hair and everything else back then. Let's look at Philemon. We find in this book of Philemon, if you're taking notes, and you might be wise to take notes, there's some real good truth in this. There's three main characters, or three main persons, three people mentioned here that are real key people. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is one of them. Philemon, who he's writing to, is the other one. And then there's this runaway slave named Onesimus. And those are your three primary characters, three primary people that they're referring to. Onesimus was a runaway slave. Which he was owned by Philemon. And Paul leads this Philemon to Christ while he's in jail. And so he's writing back to Philemon. He leads Onesimus while he was in jail. So he's writing back to Philemon saying, you know, this guy that used to own, he ran away. He's saved now. But I'll show you more of that here. But it's a tremendous book. And these three main characters, in this precious book of Philemon, they have a special representation, a spiritual application. Like the Apostle Paul, he's in type of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Philemon is in type of God the Father. And Onesimus is in type of you and I, a runaway, no good sinner. So you and I are represented by Onesimus. Paul represents the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer. And of course, Philemon, who's the owner of all, God the Father. And so we know that Onesimus was a runaway slave that got redeemed. He got saved. We believe Paul led him to Christ while he was in prison. Now, I'm just going to read one scripture in Colossians, but hold your hand in Philemon. We're going to come right back. But hold your hand in that way you've got it. And go back to Colossians, just a couple books back. Colossians chapter 4, and look at verse 7-9. The only other time Onesimus is mentioned in the Word of God here. And on Colossians 4, 7-9. Let's see if preacher can get there. Somehow I'm in. Okie dokie. Here we are. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. How many have got that? Don't lose Philemon, because we're going to be in the book of Philemon the rest of the time. Now, in this book of Colossians, Paul, the author and writer of it, all my state shall Titius declare unto you. How many got verse 7? Colossians 4. Titius shall declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I've sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Paul had people, remember, Paul was in prison. He had people take messages to different churches, different people in different places for him. And then look at verse 9. With not only is Titius coming to you, but there's another one going to come with Titius. His name is Onesimus. How many see that? With Onesimus. How many see that? And this Onesimus, he's a faithful and he's a beloved brother. You're a beloved brother, that means you're saved. Hello? And with Onesimus, verse 9, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. And so that's another reason why we know that Onesimus got saved, because the Bible even talks about his being saved and being a brother, beloved, and faithful. And so he was sold out for God. After he got saved, Eddie, he was sold out for God. Amen? Go back to Philemon now. I just wanted to give you that one little scripture there. And always good to back up scripture with scripture. Amen? Let's go to chapter 4. Let's go to the book of Philemon now. And by the way, this would be a great book at your prison ministries, your jail ministries, your nursing home ministries. This is a great little, any of you outreach, the kids, special needs children, this little book of Philemon, there's such great truth in it. It's one of my favorite little books in the Bible. Probably is my favorite book in the Bible, as far as little, small chapter, one chapter ones. Let's look at it. So we know that from Paul's writing that Onesimus was saved. We know he was a faithful and serving the Lord with Paul. And now let's read the letter of Philemon. Paul sent to Philemon. And let's look at the first seven verses here. We call that like the greetings or the salutation that they're just saluting, greeting each other. Look what Paul writes here. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Somebody's got verse 1 with me. By the way, we all are bond slaves to Christ. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. Amen? Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother. So it's him and Timothy together there writing. Unto Philemon. Look what it says about Philemon. Our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Let me see that. And not only to Philemon, there's four groups mentioned here that I see here in the first three verses. There's four groups. There's Philemon, number one. And to our beloved Aphila, number two. And to Archippus, number three, who's a fellow soldier. And to the church in thy house. So Philemon, we believe, had a church in his house. And so he's saying, I want to greet you, Philemon. I want to greet Aphila. I want to greet Archippus, and I want to greet all those in your house, in the church there at your house. How many see that? So we see a greetings here. If you notice what is said about Philemon, and if you notice in verse 1, Philemon, he's called by Paul a beloved, dearly, dearly beloved, and he's called a fellow laborer. So Philemon must have been a real sold-out guy for God, for Paul to say that. Dearly beloved and a fellow laborer. Also, he talks about Aphila being a beloved person. And Archippus, a fellow soldier. Did you notice he called Archippus a fellow soldier, which I think he was probably a soldier. I know a fellow soldier could be a Christian, like a soldier for Christ too, but we believe he was a literal soldier. And notice he was a fellow soldier. And And then verse 1, Philemon was a fellow laborer. How many see that? You know, you need laborers and soldiers, both. I mean, and if you're a real laborer, you'll be a soldier for Christ. Hello? And so, now notice what he says there in verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God. By the way, there is a great truth here. I just got to do these verses in front till I get to where I get real excited. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says there in verse 3. Grace to you and peace. Did you notice that? In almost every book that Paul wrote, he wrote grace and peace. But there's three books he didn't write grace and peace. And I'm going to real quickly show you. First of all, let's look at you don't need to hold your hand there. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:3. I'm going to show you how he addresses everybody in how he always says grace and peace. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:3. I got a reason for showing you this. In 1 Corinthians 1:3, look what Paul says. Grace be unto you and peace. How many see that? Okay? Now watch. I'm going to teach you something here. Notice he says grace and peace, okay? Now look at the next book, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God. How many see that? Grace and peace, grace and peace. Look at Galatians 1:3. Galatians 1:3. Galatians 1:3 says, grace to you and peace from God. How many see that? You see how he's greeting these churches? Now watch, keep watch. I'm not going to do them all, but I'm going to do you seven of these just to let you see it. Ephesians 1:2. Did I already do Galatians 1:3? Ephesians 1:2. Grace to you and peace from God. You see that? Look at Philippians 1:2. It's a greetings. Philippians 1:2. Grace be unto you and peace from our God our Father. Let me see that. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple more numbers. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. Let me see that. One more. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvius and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonica, Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God. How many see that? Now, I'm not going to go through it. He wrote 13 books, and I gave you seven right there. So when you read the epistles of Paul, you're going to see that he opens up every time with grace and peace. There's only three of the books that he wrote, he adds something. You're right. I taught you that evidently. You got whoever said they had the book of Romans with me. You had to look at there's three in the pastoral epistles. He adds a word. Look at 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. And look at verse 2. Unto Timothy, my son. Remember, Timothy was a preacher. How many are with me? Unto Timothy, my own son, in faith, grace, mercy, and peace. More than grace and peace, he adds mercy. Look at the second. Look at 2 Timothy. These are pastoral books. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are pastoral books. Look at 2 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 2. To Timothy, my beloved son, grace. What's the next word? Mercy and peace from God our Father. He always said grace and peace. Grace. Boy, now he's writing to Timothy, the preacher boy. And Eddie, he's added mercy. Before, they're always grace and peace, grace and peace. But when you get to the preacher's book, when you get to pastor, when you get to the pastoral book, he adds mercy. Look at one more, and look at Titus. Titus chapter 1, verse 4. These are the three pastoral books that he wrote. First and Second Timothy and Titus. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, peace. A preacher, why did he always say grace and mercy? But in those three pastoral books, he said grace, mercy, and peace. Because Paul knew that the preachers were under attack. Because Paul knew that the man of God is always on the firing line. And Satan's darts are always... So he needed more than grace and peace. He needed mercy. People that are out in front serving God, they need more than grace and peace. They need mercy. Because they're constantly under the barrage of darkness. They're constantly under attack from Satan. They're constantly under attack of the evil principalities around them. And so those in the ministry, especially those men of God, they need grace and peace. But listen, they also need mercy, that you don't bop them in the head. Amen? Mercy. And so... these are written for the preacher. Timothy was a preacher. Titus, preacher. And so, Billy, what he was saying, these men that's in the ministry, ministering to you, oh, yeah, they need grace and peace. I want to tell you something. They need even a little extra than that. They need mercy. Because they're being taxed all the time. Matter of fact, it's amazing how some people down through the ages, they'll say, mercy. How many ever heard that? Mercy or mercy day. How many ever heard that? God, give me some. I'm going to tell you, when you're in the fight for Christ, you need mercy. Oh, you need grace and peace. I'm not knocking them down at all. I'm not discounting them at all. But those in the front line doing the work, they need great grace and peace. And they also need mercy because they're in the constant battle. Pray for the preachers in our church. Pray for those in authority in our church because they need mercy on top of everything else. Amen? And so, just a little Bible teaching. I'm not preaching too much today. I'm just going to try to... Okay, go back to Philemon. This is really a tremendous book. A little book of Philemon. And for the first seven verses, he's talking, he's kind of like greeting the people. And... notice what he says there in verse 4. Are you back in Philemon with me? I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. He said, Philemon, I want you to know, and those in your church, man, I really thank God for you. And I, by the way, Philemon was, we believe, was a wealthy man. Philemon, we believe, was a pretty wealthy man. And a wealthy Christian. And he gave for the cause of Christ. Amen? And so, he said, Philemon, I want you to know something. I thank God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Philemon, I'm holding you and the folks up there in my prayers all the time. Look at verse 5. Hearing of thy... By the way, I wrote this down. The Apostle Paul had this great truth about praying for one another. Do we... Like, he was praying for Philemon. Do we pray? Do we pray for one another? Hello? Do you thank God for others? Often do we thank God for others in our church. Wouldn't hurt them once in a while, just write them a little note. Don't have to be 100 pages. Just say, dear so-and-so, just thinking about you today. So glad you're part of the family of God here at Bethel. God bless you. Just a little touch. Amen? Let people sometimes, they might be having a bad day and that day coming in the mail. That little note, just a little paragraph, five sentences maybe, might make a difference in their life that day to encourage them. Well, he's encouraging them. He says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Hey, Philemon, I want you to know, even though I'm not there, you're in my heart, you're in my prayers. Look at verse 5. Then he starts to brag on him, Addie. Hearing of thy love, Philemon, I'm hearing about your love and your faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus Christ and towards all the saints. Because what he did, he took care of Christians that came through there. He took care of them, Bobby. Lodged them, fed them, helped them. And so he was a real blessing to others. I want to be a blessing to others, don't you? And he said, I'm hearing of your love and your faith and what you do for Christ and what you do towards all the saints of God. I'd say that's pretty good testimony. How would you say? Do we have that testimony? Well, I sure want that, don't you? A lot of times, I didn't have this plan, but I'm going to say it. And I want to thank you for giving me the freedom to do things. Our church is known that we're givers. Missionaries can't wait to get to our church because we always make sure we take good care of them. Missionaries come here even when I don't book them. And we still usually give them a gift. We usually still fill their gas tank up. I've always tried to, for the 23, and you've never tried to handcuff me, and that's why God's blessed our church, by the way. You've let me pastor this church. You didn't make me a prisoner within the church itself. And I really believe when we get to heaven, Bobby, there's going to be, God's going to say, you know, you folks were down there like that Philemon. You were down there, people coming through, and you took care of them. Those little kids, you took care of them. And, you know, people didn't want, you took care of them. The nursing home ministry, people don't even care nothing about them. You went there every month. I'm going to tell you, those little things you think that are important, they're real important. They really are. And just keep on doing what you're doing. God sees it. That's all that matters. I don't need no one to pat me on the back. I just want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen? And notice, he said, boy, I really appreciate all your love and faith, verse 5, not only towards the Lord, but towards the saints. Man, you're a blessing, Philemon. Your whole church there is a blessing. And then look at verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may be effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ. He said, yeah, I know everything that's coming out of you is because of Christ. Everything we do, Billy, ought to be because of Christ. I know the preacher. Preacher didn't labor for me to get up and talk about him. He did it for Christ. I know what they did. His heart's for God. Anything you drive a bus or do whatever you want to do, do it all for the glory of God. I know. By the way, that's how you get blessed. Diane's going to put some hours in his VBS. She's going to get blessed by God. Her and Dale. Actually, Diane's going to tell you how to do it, Dale. And then you I want you to know she's the boss. Even when both of us are there, she's still the boss. But anyways, I'm going to tell you right now, Diane knows what she's doing on VBS. I'm going to tell you right now. And so when it comes to them toys and stuff, she's the whiz kid on that stuff. And so, otherwise, everything else is Sonia's the whiz kid on that. But anyways, do things unto God, for God, because of God. And that's what he's doing here. He's saying, Philemon, man, I really appreciate all the things you do for God, and because of God. Amen? And look at verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. He said, man, brother, it blesses my heart to know you take care of God's people. Paul's really saying, man, I really appreciate you having the love for God and for the work of God. He said, man, those people are coming through there telling me what you're doing for them, that you take care of them, you feed them, and let them have a lodging and stuff like that. Man, I really appreciate that. Boy, that's the testimony I want to have, Billy. For our we had a guy, Eddie, I had a preacher call me Sunday morning. He wanted to send a Filipino Sunday night. I said, we just took one on. I love Mil. I said, he knew I loved the Filipinos. And he was a dynamic. He's already got a work over in the Philippines. I said, you know, I said, Pastor, and he's not far from me. He's a good friend of mine. And I said, we just took one on, another Filipino on about 4 weeks ago, three, 4 weeks ago. And I said, to be honest with you, I have one book for right the 1st of August. And I said, my church really can't take on anybody right now. And he said, well, you ain't got to do nothing. I said, no, you don't understand. When preachers come to my church, I take care of them. And I said, I've got to raise $800 at least to buy toys for VBS this week. And I said, I'll be honest with you. It might not seem important. But I said, I'm focusing this day on raising $800 for my vacation Bible school. I think we got $872. And we that was my focus that day. There was two focuses: to see those old senior saints get baptized, and to raise money for the VBS. That was one of my. Now, of course, I want people saving stuff, but I mean, those were the two things on my that were right in front of me that were targeted by me, personally. And we got $872. We got our target because Bethel's always responds. It's unbelievable. Pastor Myers, you ain't never going to see another church like this in the world. This church is off the charts. I'm telling you. And so I told him, I said, man, you know, I love, it was the preacher up there in Milford. I'll come out his name later. He's my good friend of mine. Good kid, about 35 years old. Sharp boy. He took over when the man died. And we go there sometimes. Yes. That's it. Brother Aaron Dollar. Aaron Dollar, I believe it is. His first name's Aaron. And his last name is not spelled like yours, though. It's different. But Brother Aaron, he had that Filipino in the morning, and I just said, we just can't. But he knows that we've refreshed the saints as they come through. He said, I said, preacher, I hate to say, we just can't take a missionary right now. So what happened Sunday night? Another guy comes that I didn't know nothing about, a new Josh from the children's ministry. God said, nope, you're getting one. And I gave him a small token, a little gift from us. Not very much, but I did give him a gift, and I had one of the boys take him down, fill his gas tank up. And so, it's because they know. The missionary, you don't think, Bobby, the other missionaries say, hey, if you're up near Ravenna, man, that guy loves missionaries, that church loves missionaries, you know. And by the way, I gave him a gift. I don't even want to ask you, but there might have been some of the, you people are such so good of people. We didn't take an offering here, but some of you might have handed him something as you walked out the door. I don't need to know that, but I did, okay? But that was from our church. But I just said, you know, I guarantee you, he'll get something from Bethel. You know, because they know if they come, we're going to refresh the preachers. We hold preachers up. I hold preachers up in high regard, and I thank you for your fellowship with me. And because I have such a high regard for the men of God, I know you do too. This church with Philemon here, it didn't have to be a preacher, but they took care of God's people. Look at that verse 7 again. For we have great joy. I got to get going because For we have great joy and consolation and love. Why do you got great joy, Paul? Because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Man, thank you for taking care of these people. He's probably saying, hey, you remember Brother Skyver? I'm just like, don't send no more to me. I can't take no more. But I guarantee if Tito wound up taking that one preacher on, and it broke my heart because that was his son that was at the mission conference. But this was the father of the son. He's already been there, like, he's got all kinds, started two churches and doing tremendous. I can't pull his name up. Lately, my mind's not been doing good for names, but I know they're real solid. And and eventually, when the Lord blesses us with more access to money, we'll take him on. He don't know it yet, but I will. You know, I'd rather be a church that's known for caring. You say, oh, they're taking advantage of us, preacher. Nah. Everything we have is God's. Hello? I'm going to do all I can to help the men of God. Hello? We help, it don't have to be a preacher. We help them anyways. Amen? And so, thank God, though, for those that are working. That man there was in They had a children's ministry. I was looking at this tract today, and I was reading it. They have a different, I think it's five different countries. Verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation and love because of the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Now watch. Okay, Eddie, so he's kind of sugarcoating it, telling him he appreciates him, stuff like that. Now, watch. He's got a reason. He's trying to, now he's got to get this message. He wants his approval of it. Wherefore, remember, it's Paul writing to Philemon. Remember, Paul represents the Son of God. Philemon represents the Father. How many, God the Father, how many are still with me? Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ and join thee, that which is committed. He said, boy, I wish I could come. I wish I could come, but I can't. I'd love to be with you. Verse 8. Yet, then verse 9. Yet for love's sake, I'd like to talk to you in person about this, but I can't. Yet for love's sake, I'd rather beseech ye. Being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. Now, Onesimus, I beseech thee. This is the reason I really wrote to you. I buttered you up the first 7-8 verses there. I told you how great you were and how good you were and how we thank you. Now, here's what I want to talk to you about, really. Oh, he meant everything he said, Billy, in the first 8 verses. But here's the real reason he's writing it. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. You said, preacher, Paul didn't have a son. He did in Christ. I don't believe Paul was even married. But he had men that he led to Christ and brought to Christ. Even in jail, he led people to Christ. How many are with me? This Onesimus is his son in the Lord. How many are still with me? I beseech thee for my son. I'm really coming to you, Onesimus, because of this son of mine named Onesimus, which I've begotten in my bonds. I led him while I was in jail. I led this man to Christ while I was in jail, which in times past was to thee, this Onesimus, Philemon, to thee he was unprofitable. I know he was a no good, dirty rat in the past. I know he's a runaway slave of yours, and he's your property. I know he is. And I know he got you mad when he ran away, and I know he was unprofitable. You lost money on him. You paid for him, and then he ran off. It was a bad investment. But why, after he ran off, he ended up in jail too, and I met him in jail, and I led him to Christ. How many are still with me? So, verse 10 and 11. I beseech thee for my brethren, my son Onesimus, which I begotten in my bonds, which in times past to thee, Philemon, he was unprofitable. But now, Philemon, he's profitable to thee and to me. Woo! Man, he's helping me. I know this guy was no good, dirty man, but now he's not. Now he's saved. Now he's born again. Now he's a child of God. Look up, everybody. Where would our lives be if we didn't know Christ? Lizzie, what was our lives before we got saved? I was so unprofitable, it was unbelievable. I had nothing for God. Hello? By the way, you didn't either. And I haven't done that much for God now, but at least I'm doing more being saved than I did when I was lost. I didn't do anything when I was lost. Amen? Now look, now you got to get the picture here. Here's this guy he paid for. He bought this guy, no doubt, in a slave auction. Guy runs off. He lost his shirt, Eddie, as we'd say. Philemon lost his shirt on Onesimus. He paid money out, and the guy scampered away. Lost his investment. Now he's trying to tell him, hey, you remember that guy you invested in? Now he's saved. Now is he a good investment for you? He's a good investment for me. Because now he's in Christ. Hello? Look what it's going on. I beseech you, my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in times past was thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I've sent again. Thou therefore, now I'm sending them back to you because he's your property. I want you to know, I did not overlook who owns this man. Because we're all the property of God the Father. Hello? Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is my own bowels. He said, this no good rotten, no good rat, dirty skunk, poor runaway guy, they lost your money. I'm sending them back to you, but I don't want you to look at him as a slave no more. I want you to take him and bring him back just like he's my own son. I want you, he's going to come back. I want you to treat him like he's my, not like an old, good, rotten slave. I want you to treat him like he's my own son. Look what it says. My own bowels, like he's my own kid. Like you treat me like you treat my son David Richard like you treat me. How many are still with me? Only this guy wasn't his blood. He just was he was blood, but he wasn't his human blood. He was heavenly blood by Christ, the blood of Christ. Receive him that is my own boss. I want you to take him back now as a runaway slave. I want you to put him on a pedestal. Whom I have retained with me, oh, he's been with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of thy gospel. Yeah, I've been in jail. He's been a big help to me. Philemon, this Onesimus has been a tremendous blessing to me. But I want to let you know he's saved, and I want you to know, he's yours. Look at verse 14. But without thy mind, I do nothing. He said, I want you to know, and whatever you tell me to do with him, I'll do it. I won't do anything without you. I know he's yours, but I want you to know he's saved, and I want you to know he's a blessing. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were necessity, but willingly. I want you to let him, willingly help me, not by necessity. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season. Yeah, I know he ran off from you. I know you lost money on him. That thou shouldest receive him forever now. Don't get him back and whip him like an old dirty rotten slave that came back. No, I want you to pull out and break out the flowers and everything. Now, verse 16, I'm almost done. We're going to go to verse 18 or 19 right now. I'm trying to get there. Not now as a servant. I'm not sending Onesimus back to you a servant, but above a servant. I want you to, Philemon, I'm sending him back as a brother beloved, especially to me. That's what Christ says to us, Chris. Christ says to the Father, see Chris and Rich down there? They're special, Father. Give them royalty. They're ours. Amen? That's what he's saying. Roll out the carpet, buddy. This is someone special. Not now as a servant. No. But above a servant. A brother beloved. Especially to me. Just do it on my account. But how much more unto thee, but both in the flesh and in the Lord? He said, Philemon, it's beyond the flesh now, it's spiritual. This man's a born-again Christian. He's our brother. I know he's poor. I know you're rich. But rich and poor meet together at the cross. He's our brother in Christ. He's no longer that runaway slave that you kind of, maybe at night, said dirty bracket. Blah, blah, blah. Should have bought a bag of chips instead. Or pizza. How many are still with me? Not now, 16, not now as a servant, but above a servant. I'm glad that's what God did for us. Oh, how many are glad that, you and I are all unprofitable to God. But now God says, this runaway slave, man, he's precious, man. He's receive him. Receive him above a brother beloved. I wrote this some scripture down here. I got it down for verse 12. What did I miss on 12? Oh, yeah, my own bowels. Okay. Not now as a servant. You know why? Because he's in the family of God. Hold your hand right there. We're going to, I know it's 8 o'clock. I'll almost, look at two scriptures with me. Look at Romans 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 17. Romans 8, verse 15 through 17. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. See, we've been adopted in the family of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I'm in Romans 8, verse 16. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now watch this. Remember, I want you to take me in like he's my own. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Join heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified together. So look at that verse 7. And if children, then heirs of God, join heirs of Christ. He said, man, I'm in Romans 8, 17. He said, man, I'm going to tell you right now. He's an heir with us now. Paul's writing to Philemon says, hey, he's part of the family. He's not that dirty rat slave that ran away. Now he's part of the family. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. Hope I'm not boring you. Ephesians 2, 17. Chapter 2. I got 17 through 20. Ephesians chapter 2. And I came and preached peace unto them. You that were, how many, you which were where? Afar off. Onesimus was afar off, wasn't he? You and I were afar off till we came to Christ. And to them that were nigh, for though him we both have, but through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God. He said, man, he said, Philemon, this guy's part of the household of God. This no good, dirty, rotten slave that ran away. Now he's not a runaway slave at all. He's our brother. Wow. He's family. We are too. We're all family in Christ. Amen. How many are getting it? I'm back to Philemon. I'm almost done here. Look at verse 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Wow. He said, if you count me as a partner, receive him just like you're receiving me. Wow. That's exciting. That's exactly, Billy, what Jesus does for you and I. Amen? Now watch verse 18. I'm getting to the end here. Verse 18 and 19, I'm going to stop. If this old runaway slave called Onesimus, if he had wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Wow. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walk Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save us from endless loss. Paul said, whatever he owes, this old sinner, whatever he owes, Paul said, Philemon, I'll pay it back. Put it on me. I'll pay his whole tab. I'll pay whatever debt he has, I will pay it in full. See, Paul was a type of Jesus Christ. Philemon was a type of God the Father. And Onesimus is you and I, that no good runaway sinner. And Jesus said, I'll pay it all. You see that rich skiver tearing up Galena Street down there? Oh, Onesimus was before him. But boy, just like Onesimus was getting in trouble and end up, I never went to jail, hallelujah, I never got caught. No, I wasn't a gangster. I was in some gang fights, but I wasn't no gangster. I don't know what I was. I was a dirty, rotten, no good sinner. I'm just glad God saved me off the streets. one night I got down and said, Jesus, save my soul from all my sins. And he took me hand, he took my hand, and he brought me up to the Father and said, this is our son now. I know he was an old good sinner down on Galena Street, but now he's part of the family, Father. Just treat him like you treat me. Rich Skyver's part of the family. And that's exactly what happened to Onesimus. Paul brought him to Philemon and said, I know he was no good. I know he cost you money. But I'm bringing him unto you. Just like I'm coming to you. Just when you see him, just pretend like you're seeing me. Because I'll pay all his debt. Just put all his debt on me. I'll take care of all of it. He's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I didn't have a scripture. Let's read it. I'll take time. Let's look at one last scripture. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. So the Apostle Paul, as a type of Jesus Christ, brings this filthy sinner, runaway sinner, before the Father, which is in type of Philemon here. And look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know, I'm in 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the traditions from your fathers. But here's how we were redeemed. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Billy Jesus went to the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And there he took all the sins, my sins, your sins. Billy, every sin that you and everyone that you and I have ever committed or going to commit and will commit, he took them all on Calvary. He said, go ahead, Father. Go ahead. I'll pay it. I know they don't deserve it, but I love them. I'll pay it. And then he did. And so Onesimus, that runaway slave, which is a type of you and I, his bill got paid by someone who loved him and cared. The Apostle Paul, who in type here, was a type of Christ. How many understand what I'm saying? He was not Christ. I'm just saying he was like in figure. How many understand what I'm trying to tell you? The Apostle Paul was not Jesus Christ. But there's a truth here that you can see. How many can see it? And just what, it's so beautiful. Just what Paul did for Onesimus, that's what Christ did for us. Aren't you glad you're forgiven? Aren't you glad you're part of the family of God? Aren't you glad there was someone say, aren't you glad there was someone said, I will pay? Jesus said, I'll pay it all. And God bless Onesimus. We're going to see him when we get to heaven. Oh, he probably, Eddie, he might have been a bigger screwball than you and I. Really, Eddie? I think he's a bigger knucklehead than you. I think he's a bigger knucklehead than me. But you and I found the same thing he found. He found Christ. He found the importance of that flow of the blood that cleanses us from all sin. He found the Apostle Paul, and Paul told him about Jesus, and he got saved. Just like you and I got saved years ago, Eddie, now we're serving the Lord. That's what he did. He turned his life around. How many can say hallelujah? And so let's just keep working for God. We're all runaway slaves. We're all sinners. We're all slaves to sin. We've been redeemed from that sin because of Christ. Amen. Now we're bond slaves of Christ. Corinthians, Paul, I'm going to stop. I didn't have this. Let's see here. There's a scripture in Corinthians I wanted to bring up. I didn't have it ripped down. It just came to me. Look at 1 Corinthians 5. It's at the end of the chapter, Eddie. It says we're not redeemed by the precious. It's not 1 Peter. What I want is in Corinthians. I didn't have a plan. And I'm going to close on that verse. It's either Corinthians 5, 6, or it's at the end of the book, the chapter there. You're not your own. Is it 6:10? or 6:12, 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians? It says you're not your own. What chapter? Oh, good. I'm in the right book. I'm in the right chapter. Just got to get the verse. Okay, Eddie, 1 Corinthians 6. Go ahead and read the verse 20 and 21, I think it is.
20 is the last one.
Okay, that's what I want.
1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's.
Wait now. Verse 19 goes, read that verse 19 and 20.
Verse 19 says, what?
What know ye not? That you're, go ahead. Yep.
Know ye not that your body is
the temple of God, and you're not your own?
Which is in you,
right.
Which ye have of God.
Right.
You are not your own.
Right. Then I'll read the next verse, Eddie.
For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
See, we're all Onesimus. We were all bought with a price. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 19 and 20. I need to remember that. Still had the chapter right. All right. How many glad you're saved? How many glad you were just like Onesimus? Been redeemed. Amen? All right, let's stand for prayer. Brother Jack, lead us in prayer, would you?